All right, we're back. It's been a long time away. We actually recorded a podcast we didn't post because we just got sidetracked. It wasn't much nothing but a fill-in. And we have finally got a representative from Ayler's Hunt Club with us today to tell a magnificent story with hopefully some footage to follow. Whether that be on our YouTube, their YouTube, no here, nor there, yonder. It's on video. It's been documented. But we have Cale Ayler in the house here today.
That's right.
A little bit of, I ain't going to steal their line. I was going to say housekeeping, but I ain't going to say it.
Got to pay the bills.
Yeah. A little bit of agenda. So I just got back from Texas. We had a successful trip. I had to leave early. I just stuck to the original plan. Caleb stayed early. We got on pronghorn because mule deer weren't working. Caleb killed a pronghorn. We have documentation all the way up till the kill. Rob, the fill-in cameraman that was down there with Caleb, had it all the way up till they squatted down to get ready to shoot, and he cut the camera off. So we missed the kill, but we've got a good bit of stuff to give you guys just to kind of show you what partook in the event. I mean, I'm just going to throw this one little topic out there. On that whole trip, we put 2,200 miles on a pickup truck in 4 days. So we did a lot of mobile scouting, and that's about the only way you can do it in that part of the country, in the true West. So we got that done. That was a good time. I still got an open mule deer tag, so does Caleb, and they're good till December 7th, which is my birthday. So sometime between now and I think November 22nd is when general season comes in, which is rifle. If I don't get a chance to get back down with the bow, I'm going to try to get down there for rifle and take one with the rifle.
When's that come in?
I think it's November 22nd is general season is what I had last looked up on my
That's what you told Texas me the other day, yeah.
Because up until that point, you can still go down there with a bow, which I have an archery. I forget what they call it. It's kind of like a permit almost, and I have it just to show that I'm archery hunting. But the big plus is, too, is I got all the other tags that package license you buy in Texas offers. So I've got four turkey tags. One of them isn't allowed to be used in a certain zone, and then the other ones are. And I don't know if they correlate with fall or not, because I think Texas still has like a, I'm using air quotes, a fall season, but I know they have that one in February. And then I've got whitetail. I've got a whitetail tag too. So because we seen a couple whitetail deer right there. We were hunting. Now, they're not big by no means, but we saw some whitetail deer. But I say they're not big by no means in Texas. For anybody that doesn't know, they have this. And I'm using legality because it is. They have a stern legal program of outside the ears for mule deer or whitetail. So 15 inches for a whitetail, 20 inches for a mule deer. It don't matter how tall it is. It's got to be out to the tip of its ears or beyond to be legal shoot. So y'all seen them pictures I posted. They got to be X, Y, and Z to be legal to kill. If not, you just got to watch them walking out of your life. I think it's pretty good practice in my opinion, especially for the quality of deer they have. And they have a lot of deer. In that part of Texas, I haven't been to other parts. Texas is a big state, but we were in the panhandle. But I'm looking forward to going back and doing that, though. That'd be fun. Yeah. And then, I ain't going to lie, I seen a bunch of dang all dad mounts everywhere I went. I'd like to get in there and shoot a Barbary sheep.
Are there all dad right there where y'all were?
There are some close in the panhandle, depending on where you hunt, but it's a pretty big thing down like the Trans-Pecos.
Or yeah, like West Texas.
Well, that and lower Texas, too. Yeah. Over there in the Trans-Pecos, which is on the southern New Mexico, when you get more in the desert plain section, yeah, they're pretty popular.
They're really hard to get to shoot in New Mexico because of the way their tag system is.
They're actually invasive. I don't know if you know that. Did you see that deal they posted about they're going to do a bunch of air flying and tranquilizing? I thought I sent in a group chat deal where they're trying to get them out of the Big Bend National Park. They said they're hurting the bighorn sheep population.
Yeah, well, they're not. They were released in like the 40s or something, and they were fine like up until now, basically. And now Texas, that part of Texas and that part of New Mexico is doing a bunch of good work to restore a bunch of the original habitat of desert bighorn.
Yeah.
And desert bighorn are so finicky, they're having to remove a bunch of the all-dad.
Yeah, because see, they have oryx, too. Yeah. They got those down there.
I want to shoot an all-dad bad.
Yeah, I do, too. I'd really like to do that. And I ain't going to lie, I'm going to go on this rant for just a minute, and we're going to get to, you know, Cale here. But all that was fun. That was a really cool trip. I missed a pronghorn. I ain't going to lie. I'm not even making excuses. It was a flat miss. But to fill it all in, it's all in documentation. Had a quick chance to get on one 220-yard shot off a rifle that
you'd never shot.
That we had never shot. I mean, and we knew it was sighted in, but we didn't ever shoot it. 40 mile an hour plus winds easy off of a camera tripod trying to shoot a pronghorn, tending a herd of eight does, you know. So it was fun. I ain't gonna lie, it was a freaking adrenaline rush from heck. I ain't even gonna lie. And then the days leading up to Caleb's killing, we had a couple escapades with two pronghorn, and then Caleb tops it off with a freaking stud. I mean, possible booner. I mean, definitely high-class Pope and Young, but this thing maybe could go boon if we'd score it right. And I say right. We've scored it three times, and we've all come up pretty generic number. I'm not going to release that number, but we've got an officiant lined up for the 60-day drying period to score it. But either way, it's a record book pronghorn. It's a good one for his first one. And if you missed that post, check out my Instagram or Caleb's. He's tagged in some of our stuff. You can see pictures.
It's on RW, too.
Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah. And there'll be, like I said, there'll be some YouTube videos leading up to that hunt. You're not going to get anything of the kill, but I've got some after shots from Caleb, so everybody get to see that. But and then on the hot topic, current.
Yep. Me and Kale just got back. We were coming over here at 7 o'clock. Got a phone call from the silent elephant himself, Andrew Trick, and he shot a dang nice buck right here by the house.
Yep.
And his first one, like all by himself, with crossbow. Made an amazing quarter and away shot.
Beautiful.
He ran.
You could see the lung bubbles in that. That was a smooth shot.
I mean, it was
hit
perfect.
That back rib and it stuck into the
offside. It barely cut the skin on the offside shoulder.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he was bleeding good.
How far of a shot was it?
About 16 steps.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Close. I mean, he's got a ground blind like up on a hill where he's overlooking one of them food plots he made.
Yeah.
Oh, it was money. And we tracked the he did video it with his phone, so I'll get that from him. We'll post it or something.
Yeah, but we can probably make a little Instagram
yeah link. And the because I was gonna post it on Instagram, but I'll get that video from him before I do and clip the, you know, just the shot, because it's like a minute long video. But anyway, because when he called me, he said, you know, quartering away or whatever, I didn't know he had videoed it, but he's like, it went in like the last rib. And he was so jacked up, he couldn't even talk. And I was like, all right, well, me and Kale's on the way. And so we got down there, and he's like, I found blood, like, you know, right away, like right to the edge of this little food plot clearing he had. And so I brought my big coon light or whatever, because he forgot his flashlight. And so I'm following blood. And there's a creek in there, and the deer, and it gets in a super thick privet thicket. And the deer went down in the creek, and I could see blood on the other side. And I was like, if he's hurt as bad as I know he is watching that video, I said, he ain't far on the other side of this creek. And Kale said, there ain't no way he run more than 50 yards. And me and Andrew literally got eye level with the bank of the creek. And Andrew's like, there he is. And I mean, he might have ran 40 yards.
Awesome. Shot like that, he ain't going to go far.
No, uh-uh. And
head
so,
propped up and everything.
Yeah, he must have been super low to the ground when he came out of the creek, because he was in that privet. Because I mean, like, I don't know how he didn't break any antlers off.
Really?
I mean, he was like, there was this big, huge privet tree, basically, and then it split off into, like, four pieces, and his right main beam was, like, in between all four pieces.
Dang.
He was propped up like he was sitting there.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, he had to have, if he would have been running full speed and standing all the way up, he'd have broke something off. Dang. Like, he was that locked up in there, but.
Yeah, he was digging.
Yeah.
He had them boogers, didn't know where to go. But.
And what's crazy is both of his shooters, I think he's got three shooters over there, but these two had been running together during, like, nighttime, because, you know, send me pictures all the time, and they've been running together in the dark, and they were running together in velvet, but they had never daylighted together. Like, you know, one would daylight, you know, on a Monday, and then, like, Friday, the other one would daylight, just for example. And I was like, because one of them has brow tines and one of them don't.
Yeah.
I said, which one'd you shoot? He said, the one without brow tines, but the other one was in here. So they both came in there this evening, and so it was just super, super cool.
Yeah, I like it. That's cool.
Yeah.
Them good little stories.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the update on the homework. We've also, since Ellen didn't release, just we got some other good stuff lined up. We're going to get Caleb on here to tell the pronghorn stuff more in depth. Me and him will tell that story. I just gave y'all a little bit of information. And then we've got another guest lined up. It's going to be a pretty interesting podcast. We'll get him on. And then, we mentioned in the other one, we just didn't release it, so I'm not really referring to anything, but just off mine and your mental.
Yeah.
Anybody else that wants to get on here, me and Evan decided we're going to try to do some tales from the timber, or however you want to word it.
Yeah.
If anybody really wants to get on here and tell a good story, I mean, kind of like what Kale's doing, we're just all really affiliates, so we're going to share good stories. But if anybody wants to get on here and talk, tell a good story, call. You can call us. We got the call set up on the deal.
Yeah, yeah.
We can, however you want to do it, like I said, because I think a lot of people like that stuff. Yeah. And so if you want to tell a story, we're here to listen. And we'll call multiple people if we have to in one night. Just tell us one of your favorite hunt stories, you know, something like that. But we've got some good guests lined up. We are getting busy. Again, it's October. What's today, the 2nd?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's getting busy. I mean, it's, I ain't gonna lie, there's a little bit of a cold front moved in. Obviously, it worked out. It felt good tonight, too. Right there, that last 30 minutes before dark.
We got out of the truck over with Andrew. I was like, dang, it feels like a deer hunting evening.
Like, we're getting there now.
I'm getting excited. But anyway, we're going to kick it off now with Kale from Ailer's Hunt Club. Kale has been in the mix with the mutts here for
since
the beginning of time.
Since freshman year.
Just about,
we've been running together.
But, I'm just going to treat you like a normal guest. So, Kale, just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, Ailer's Hunt Club, and, you know, we'll just go from there.
Yeah, I'm Kale. I kind of run the Ailer's Hunt Club Instagram page. I ain't too good at it, but I try. But, yeah, I went to high school with Carson and Evan. Me and Evan grew up, graduated together, do everything together. But
yeah,
only got to know Carson that 1 year. But, yeah, we all do the same thing as what R&W does. Just go out west every now and again, pull a tag, and then hunt the sand. You gotta love the sand deer.
Hunt the Carolina as hard as we can.
Grew up hunting. Yep. Grew up hunting. So, I had two questions in my head at one time. I didn't know which one to ask first. So, on the normal topic, what we got him on here for is actually a really cool story. Something that ain't happened to a lot of people. So, we're going to actually tell two stories. That's what I was going to get at. Tell everybody, and I know everybody's seen it from last year, these last two tags that, and you can explain to everybody who Donnie is.
Todd, excuse me, I said Donnie, my bad.
Explain to everybody, I don't know why I always think of that. I think it's just because he's always talking about it, to be honest with you. But explain.
Grandpa, Dad.
Both people that are important in your life, I guess that's what matters, you know. But explain to everybody the two, I mean, in my opinion, those are like the epitome of
dogs
for anybody, no matter where they're drawn at, you know, what come about and what all went down. Because like I said, that first story has never even been told. So we'll go to the sheep first, and then, you know, what happened this past year.
Yeah, last year he wasn't expecting it at all. He just was, the draw came up and he got successful. He was expecting a tag that I'm not going to say. It should be coming up next year, if not. But he drew the Rocky Mountain sheep tag in Colorado. So I couldn't go. I'm in college. I played college baseball, so I was in the mix of fall ball. Well, he gets the tag, and he's scrambling. I've never seen him so happy to go on a hunt. He started scrambling, and he's like, I got to get my gun sighted in. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm like, oh, gosh. Well, turns out that his barrel and his 300 was blown out. Like, we couldn't pattern it at all. It was terrible. Like, so
couldn't get it to shoot.
Yeah. I mean, we tried, like, four different loads.
Mm.
I mean, it was, like, 8-inch groups. It was terrible. So, we just used the guide's 28 nozzle or so. Yeah, the guide went up. He has his pilot's license, so he flew the unit and found that ram like a week before. And so they get out there and they're glassing. They could actually glass it from a parking lot from down low up top, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And found the ram and got up there opening day, because sheep season, you can use whatever.
Any legal means.
Any weapon you want.
Yeah.
But you got the whole month of September to kill it.
Yeah.
Well, day one rolls around and they get up there. They come close. They see a lot of sheep. And of course, they seen a lot of elk above timberline, of course, up with the sheep. I mean,
way high.
Like way,
yeah, that's high.
Way,
that's high.
Way up there.
When you get the sheep country, that's high elevation.
You can miss me with packing the elk out of there.
Yeah,
don't call me.
Yeah,
we calling in the horses or something.
Yeah,
but yeah. Day two rolls around. They knew where that sheep was. They seen him day one, just couldn't make a move. But day two, they work with him all day. So there's two-hour time difference between North Carolina and Colorado. So I'm walking to practice at like 3-4 o'clock. So I guess it's like 1 or 2 that their time. And not supposed to have your phones on the field or whatever. Or you can be running laps.
Yeah. My dad's kind of killing Bighorn sheep. I'm gonna have my phone in my pocket.
I got important stuff to keep up with right now.
I'm trying to study while I'm practicing.
So right before practice, he texts me. He goes, making a move on one. I was like, of course you're gonna do. I had nothing to do all day, and you're gonna do it as soon as I'm busy.
Yeah,
but yeah, he makes up. He gets up there, finds him with a couple small leather bighorns, and I think the first shot. I'm trying to remember this right. Is either 430 or 520 is how far the shot was. I mean, it was not an easy poke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First shot, he hit it. He hit it back about. Never posted this shot. But, I mean, it was still killable. It was lethal. Just a hair back. About. It was straight guts.
Yeah.
And he shoots it again. I actually got the video of. Shooting. Like,
yeah,
everything
from Will.
Propped up. Like,
yeah, listen to this. I'll tell this real quick. So he told me this like the other week before they left for the moose hunt. He said, because his little brother Will went on the sheep hunt. And Will had like.
I remember Will being in that picture.
And so Will's got like a phone video, like through the spotting scope or whatever. Yeah. And so we'd seen that. 1 year later, Will decides to tell us, I had my GoPro set up on Dad and the guide.
Oh yeah,
so he's got a whole point of view video all of them.
We need that
glassing and shooting the sheep.
We need that. That's
a year later.
Now, one thing before you get going, I just want so everybody knows, because this is something that's I know some other information about it, that money can buy this tag, and it's a very lump sum of money. How long did it take him to get this drone? That's some pretty important information.
We didn't really look at the actual number, but it's in between one or two numbers, and like we weren't expecting the tag.
Mm-hmm.
It was either 21 or 23 points, and each point is a year.
Yeah.
And
so 20 plus years of drawing.
Yeah, and for the non-residents, bull crap out there, they're always changing freaking units.
That's right.
So like we couldn't really like zone in on one unit.
Yeah, you couldn't pick a favorite.
And just like, it'll just turn into something different and do all this. Well, he finally found the unit that we killed it in, and it worked out.
I mean,
we're still great buddies with that guy.
Yeah.
And what the crazy part is too, I'm throwing this in there because I read the New Mexico book really hardcore. Just in the pronghorn category alone for New Mexico, the odds of any of the units, not just favorites, any unit, 6% chance of getting drone non-resident.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And like, and on top of that, some of them have limited tags. The one that we wanted to hunt that we're going to try to apply for this year only, they only had 10 non-resident tags.
For rifle?
No, just in general. General season across the board. If you start from bow to the end of the year, 10 tags. Guys, the unit we went and bought over-the-counter tags in for private land only, there was only 62 available, and we got two of them. Only 62 for private land. So even if you owned a piece of land and you had permission like we did on a piece of private land, there's only 60 tags available. Everybody could have went and bought them that morning for open or private.
Yeah.
But that was non-resident, though. So that many non-residents could have just crossed over the border from Arizona would have been ridiculous because that was on the other side of New Mexico.
All you sand hunters that are listening to this.
Yeah.
These are rare tags we got here.
No, I mean, it's crazy, dude. I mean, because it's so different from what we're accustomed to because, I mean, non-residents – in theory, endless on this side of the country. They never run out of tags. But on that side of the country, it's literally, there's zones in that magazine you can look. They say unlimited. And if you do a lot of digging, they're not the greatest zones in the world. There's pronghorn, but there's not a lot. The tags that are super, super restricted or limited, they got a lot of pronghorn. But the problem is there's not a lot of GMUs, which is game land units.
Yeah.
Or the private land is very, very big, you know, in a sense of we don't have a lot of, I mean, you can hunt it, but it's big chunks of private land because when you get to that side of the country, 3,000 acres is like a 30-acre track here at home.
Yeah.
And next thing, next door to it is a 150,000 acre ranch. And you're like, I can't do nothing with that. You know, let me go door knock real quick. Hey, buddy, let me hunt. But anyway, back to the story.
Back on the ram. So, yeah, he makes it. I mean, it's killable for sure. It's going to kill him. But it was a little back, and it just went right over a knoll. And while he was, like, walking away, of course, we racking another one in. Oh, I mean, we shooting again. He shot the second time. This is on video as well. We need to post this video as, like, a throwback. It's funny. Shoots right over his back. And Dad's reaction is hilarious. She's like, oh, really? Yeah, you missed him. So it just goes right over the knoll. And you just, like, just right out of sight.
Yeah.
And beds down. But they didn't see him bed down. It took 2.5 hours from the time he shot that first time to the follow-up shot to get a shot. And he just went 50 yards across the little knoll.
Yeah.
Like 2.5, 3 hours. And then that the kill shot, the final shot, is on the hunt club. As a reel, I think. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And
I remember seeing that video.
Folds him at like 340.
Yeah.
And he starts rolling down.
And that is another funny side story to that before we move on to the next hunt. So when Kel was walking to practice or whatever and his dad texted him making a move on one, I screenshotted that text because my dad was also wanting an update. You know, what's Todd doing? He's seen anything? You know, what's going on out there? What's the sheep update? And so Kale texted his daddy back and said, don't miss. That's all he said. And so I screenshotted that because I was at work, and I sent it to Dad. And I said, got an update from Kale. They're moving in on one. And Dad called me. Or no, he texted our group chat.
Oh, that's right.
He's got a group chat with me and Kale, and he called us. Or he texted us. And he said, you tell Kale that if something happens and it's all his fault with all that negative energy. And so when Kale got home or whatever and told the story about what happened.
You son of a gun.
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Dad was like, well, that's why he done it. It's because you told him not to miss. If you'd have just been nice to your old daddy, he would have hit him at first. He'd have killed him at first shot.
Oh, God. I'm going to tell anybody sitting here right now because I just did it out there. And I know anybody listens like, man, 200's easy. Bull. The way that terrain is, I mean, and I know that is not flat, but like that's uphill and elevated. I'm telling you, if you've never practiced breathing and like breathing techniques on guns and even have a gun that's got a light trigger, something that can make you feel confident, dude, you better anybody listening.
Especially trying to hold it off a camera tripod.
Well, not even that.
Not your gun.
Not even just take all that out of consideration. Like all seriousness, I'm not saying I would have done even better with mine, but dude, I'm telling you, if you ain't started now, it's a huge ball game difference. I mean, we all know we make under 100 to 150 yard chip shots in the sand, and we're shooting down power line right aways out of a box blind, out of a ladder stand. Some of us even shoot them off the ground. We've all done it.
Yeah.
But dude, I'm telling you, that's a different ball game when you factor in crazy wind, Coriolis effect, all that stuff. I mean,
the elevation, dude,
it's crazy. I mean, I can only imagine, and I know I've seen that one clip, but you take 500 yards from ridge to ridge. You're probably shooting more incline than you think you're shooting decline, you know, a lot of times. I mean, even in
that
elk country.
That ram was uphill, too.
I mean, dude, that's hard.
And
I remember that in the video.
Also, the guy, our buddy, he has a rangefinder, and it is programmed to his gun.
Yeah.
Like, it has all the MOAs. Like, it does windage MOAs, like, everything.
You got to have that stuff out there.
That thing is sick.
That's like military stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunate events occurred and
2 minutes angle.
He goes to range.
A rangefinder died.
And the damn thing died. So it might have. Like,
what does that look like to you? Oh, about 700. Let her fly.
Hold it right at the top of his back.
Yeah, let her fly.
The hell was that up under, above him?
Yeah. A rock just fell 20 foot above him.
Hit him in the head.
Shoot one off his horn.
So they started scrambling for.
Look at this, he's been fighting.
So Dad and Will, they don't know what a bow is. They've never shot one at an animal before.
A bow?
Yeah, a bow. So they've never had to use a rangefinder. And they had this old one of mine.
Hmm.
And they were scrambling to take the battery out of that and put it in there. Uh-huh. So I think the turret was a little bit off.
Yeah.
That's why it maybe missed or hit back or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it rolled down to the bottom of the hill, and this is like the rest of the story right here. So keep in mind, I'm still at this freaking baseball practice.
Yeah.
Like, gosh almighty. And I look at my phone, and I get a picture from him. I'm like, man, I'm surprised he has service. Well, it's not a picture of the RAM or nothing. It's a picture, and I have to look at it kind of hard. I'm like, what is it, a creek? You sent me a picture of a creek. Like, what are you doing?
Look at this water, man.
Well,
this water in Colorado is beautiful.
Yeah, I was so confused. Well, I look at it a little closer. There's two Miller Lights sitting in it. I was like, well, hell yeah. That might be killed. Yeah. Now, I don't really care about your beer in the creek.
Yeah.
Send me a picture of this RAM.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, that was right at the end of practice and called him and got the whole details. And I think they packed him out 3 miles on like some like.
Yeah, that sounds rugged.
Like, I don't even.
Rock face.
It's
like, face.
It's like rock faces. Mm-hmm. And it's like super like pointy, sharpie.
Oh, yeah.
Sliding rocks.
Dude, it's not stable ground.
Was that in the actual? Was that in the Rockies by any chance? Like near the Rockies? The Rocky Mountains?
As in the Rockies.
I didn't know if they were like in a minute.
Oh, it was. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. No, like I said, we hunted the Northern Rockies in Idaho, and I'm telling you, there's rock shards and jams like everywhere. I mean, like, and you look at them, you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty sturdy. No, you step on them, and they just start falling out from under you.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know my Uncle Dan has hunted all over the West and everything, and he said the only thing harder to walk in than the Rocky Mountains was up there in Alaska, mountain goat hunting.
Oh, yeah.
He said that was worse than the Rockies. But other than that, he said, trying to walk on those rocks.
Yeah, falling. I remember that picture. He said, now, that one they hunted, they looked like they was at a quarry on a 57 pile.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff was like just slate.
It's right down there at Martin Marietta. Yeah.
It looked like slate rock, you know what I mean? But no, I always thought that story was cool. I mean, that's something that anybody out there that don't know anything about that stuff, you just white people listen to us for the whitetail stuff, like, we all dream about doing that stuff, and all of us in here put in for that stuff. And it takes years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's
again,
an investment.
This do not quote me to this. When I was in Washington, I met a fella from Alberta, super cool cat. He's in the big coal industry, construction industry out there.
Mm-hmm.
He works FIFO, so like the fly in, fly out stuff.
Yeah.
And we got to talking, and he guides in the backcountry when he's off for a couple months. And he was joking with me over some beers. We was at the bar hanging out the night before we were getting ready to fly out. And he was talking about guiding and just giving me all kinds of cool backcountry stories. And he said, you ever want to kill a bighorn? I was like, man, I mean, I said, if I could ever get a tag, I'd probably do it, you know?
Yeah.
He said, $10,000, you can buy one today. And I'm like, I'll pass.
Yeah.
But appreciate the offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that, and I'm being serious, like, don't quote that to him, but I remember him saying a number like that, and I know they go for more than that. Have y'all seen them ones where them people are selling those ones in those trophy zones?
The crazy ones are the stone sheep.
Yeah.
See, the stone sheep, the crazy thing about them is you can't draw a tag from the I remember that picture now.
That's the Miller Lite picture.
Cooling them off in the creek.
Yeah.
The mountains run blue.
Yeah. The stone sheep you can't draw a tag on.
No.
Those are all private, tags or whatever.
Yeah, you can buy them from a landowner or something like that. Can't
you? They have a monopoly on them, so you have to buy them. And those things are like, you might get one for like $60,000.
Yeah.
You knew a doll sheep for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Cheap.
But the reason the bighorn ones, what he was telling me, obviously from the backcountry aspect of it, were going for so much was because, people have killed them, but now it's like, I want a bigger one. You know what I mean? So he's like, people are really, when they got them in these trophy zones, people are wanting like big class sheep. But I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm gonna do just like Todd did. I'm a one and doneer. Now, like, if I go do that, I'm gonna do it one time. And I say that because, like, that deal with the pronghorn, I'm gonna lie to you boys. I didn't even kill one, but I gotta hide to go kill some couple pronghorn. That's fun to do.
I'll get into
but
pronghorn.
I'm not going, I doubt if I go do it. I know it'd probably be fun, but like, If you and I'm just saying this, I'm not trying to make this about me, I'm just telling y'all a story to put into perspective, anybody listening, what I would feel like in Todd's situation, what it entails. Like, I give those guys out West kudos. Like, I know they poke fun at us at how easy we can go shoot deer, But dude, the amount of time you have to put into something and sit on something ridiculous. To be successful, it is draining, like mentally draining. Like when you go 2, 3, 4 days, you don't see crap, or you see stuff, but you don't see what you're there for and what you can even legally harvest. Dude, it is mentally draining. And when you just do nothing but put in our example, windshield miles, because so much of that you can't trek, or you do in Todd's example, and you have to pack in, camp, get up, keep walking, hiking, glassing, walking, mm-hmm. hiking, glassing. I mean, you'll make yourself sick looking through glass all the time, binoculars, mm-hmm. spotting scopes. I mean, you're like, you're looking at 600 yards away at some sheep, and they're freaking hazy. I mean, you're like, mm-hmm. God, and you get away from the glass, you can't even see them, and you're like, I wouldn't even know they're there if I didn't know what to look for. I mean, it's mentally draining, but I give those guys kudos. And then the worst part is, just like you said, whether you're doing it with a bow or a gun, trying to get in that feasible, you know, ethical range of harvesting one when you're in a landscape with yeah. no cover. It is so hard.
And then pulling off that shot.
Yeah, making it happen. Yeah. That's why I'm not even beating myself up about that deal with that pronghorn. Even if y'all see the video, I mean, I'm in a field, but like, pronghorn can see up to 3 miles. I found all this out. They can see up to like 3 miles.
Their eyes are stupid fast. Their eyes are like us looking through 8-power
yeah.
binoculars.
Yeah, they're like stupid. I mean, they're so witty. Now, I ain't gonna lie. They were dumbfounded because they're rutting this time of year. The buck was kind of dumbfounded. But them does, high alert. They were like watching me the whole time. They were turning. They were moving him around in a good spot for me to shoot him. He's paying me no attention. And I'm like cutting the distance, ranging. And then you get set up, and it's, like I said, 40-mile-an-hour winds. All you can see in that grass is his belly up, and you're like, dang, this is different. I'm my level with the pronghorn, you know? And you
shoot. It doesn't look the same from the truck.
No, it don't. And what was funny, I meant to throw this in there. Caleb was telling me about rutting and those things stinking. Mm-hmm. Dude, he said they smell worse than a whitetail in prime rut. That one he I shot, so. He said that thing they was stunk. He said that thing was stunk up.
Probably smelled like a billy goat.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, if you ever gut one, learn how to gut it before you do like he did. Apparently, they have like a crap cavity, and it goes right inside the hams. And he cut it and got sprayed all in the face.
Oh, so, no.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh.
And they were, but on that guy's farm, he had a windmill. He said we were dipping our heads in the windmill water tank. He said we were covered.
Oh, God.
So just make sure if you go to pack out a pronghorn, watch a good video on how to gut and properly field dress a pronghorn. So you don't cut the turn sign.
Study up.
But I won't tell no more about that story because I'll let him tell it next time we have him on here. But like I say, I wasn't trying to make it about me. I just correlating what you're saying. Like that stuff is tough. I mean, it's mentally draining. It can be, but the West is untamed for sure. Yeah, that place is.
Just think about it. You pack in 3 miles.
Well, just like your next story. I mean, you can roll on into that just on that same topic. Yeah, I mean, just what y'all did on that one.
Yeah. So just like the sheep hunt, it just took forever. Been putting in for this one. This one was 18. Got a little bit earlier.
But, 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, still 18 years.
Did he get that? Now on this one, was it the same aspect being in Colorado? They kept flipping the zones on you, or you got the zone you kind of aimed for?
He didn't really know what zone for a long time. He just kept putting in for the preference.
Just putting in for the preference point.
And then he's like, well, this unit is very well known for moose. He's like, all right, let's go do it. And kind of elk, let's see, no, not elk, moose, sheep, and I think mountain goat. They're all the same. They're all in the same lottery. But not,
yeah.
Three it's different like they're on the same ways. System. Same system.
That's
yeah,
right.
There you go.
Yeah.
You put in, you get 3 weighted points. So 3 years. You put in for 3 years, you still can't, you just got to get that preference point.
That's
you
right.
can't put in for a unit. Mm-hmm. That fourth year, you can pick your unit, and you get, I guess, say one or four,
yeah.
four of your names go into a hat.
Yeah,
if you pick a unit,
mm-hmm.
but it just depends on if you did.
Yeah.
If you don't, you should get a preference point.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he kind of done this unit for like maybe 2 years. He got found his unit and started putting in
because you can figure out what units. Like how many points you need to draw in that?
Yeah,
unit.
It'll tell that's you. Right. Like,
yeah,
when to start throwing your name guaranteed.
In the hat. Yeah,
it
yeah.
Just, mm-hmm. The preference points it just keeps coming a bunch of junk.
Yeah, and for anybody that don't know, when they say Colorado and moose, like it doesn't go together. They brought in Shire moose in the late '70s, early '80s, down through the Rockies, and it's the smallest species of moose in the United States. No, let me say North America, because in North America they consider the Shire is one, but everybody always goes and hunts Canadians. So yeah. You have the Eastern Canadian, the Western Canadian, the Yukons, and the Shires. Yeah. But the Shires are the smaller bodied and antlers.
What states? Is it just Wyoming and Colorado?
I think
there's some in Montana.
Yeah, and I believe it or not, when we were up there in Washington, I know those boys said they obviously trickle across the border, but I know they said there's some Canadians that stay in the northern end of Washington, but there's some down into Idaho, and I think they're Shire mix or whatever, but they got a lot of elk up there too and sheep. They up that way, but just so anybody knew, that's what we're after, because I know some people people didn't even know they're even in Colorado, but no, Yukons are the big bulls. Those mugs are big. So, that's backcountry stuff there. But so, anyway.
Yeah, we just stayed in a little town. We didn't have to camp, but we did bring our camping stuff. He kind of went all out for this hunt. He bought a new trailer, new side by side.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
So yeah, that country was nice. That we all was at.
That's what I told him.
Yeah, it was all right.
I told him when we went up there dove hunting. I said, "You need to go moose hunting every year. You buying all kind of stuff."
Yeah. He bought all this Swarovski, the double eye thing for the spot and scope.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
I think it's sick. And. Yeah, bought all this. We stayed in town, had like a Airbnb, and it was like a 20-minute drive to where we were hunting, and we were up into, I'm not going to get into too many details about where we were hunting, but there's more people. There's a lot of people there. And
in that unit you were in?
Yeah, but, I mean, they give out, I think, 17 moose tags each year for this unit, and we ran into four of them. Not including ourselves, so five.
Dang, that sucks.
Bull moose.
But low-key sucks.
A lot of cow moose hunters. It's weird. And
dogs always do that.
Yeah, we're kind of...
I guess if you get a tag, you're going to go shoot whatever the heck you get one for. Because I know some people drew cow elk tags, and that's what they did. So
yeah.
I guess I ain't going to make fun of a guy.
Yeah, we're kind of struggling for the first few days. I mean, we were seeing moose, but we were not seeing
like
nothing
the
quality.
Moose. Yeah.
It was like, it was bothering us. We were a little weary. Mm-hmm. We kept going back to the same spot. We spotted one bull day one. He was small. Got to like 25 yards. He was small. And then...
Damn dog. I can't tell. Is it a siren going by?
It must be.
Fire truck.
Yeah, and normally there's a guy on a motorcycle that flies by and they howl at him all the time because it hurts their ears. Anyway.
Yeah, they...
You can barely hear them. We hear them good, but I ain't gonna lie. I'm the same record you, but I can't really hear them. It's actually really quiet in here tonight for some reason. I know we ain't got the air conditioning on, but...
But, yeah. Day... What day did we kill him on? Oh, day five. Killed him on day five, but day one through four, I mean, we were seeing moose, but we weren't seeing, like, no bulls. And if they were, they were, like, super small.
Yeah, scrubs.
It was like, where are they at? Like, this is prime moose country, like really prime moose.
That looked good. That looked like, you know. But get that paddle boy in the brush.
Hey, we brought the paddle.
Yeah, he said that more.
We had the paddle.
Did you really?
We gonna call that.
Hey, you gonna do that thing in there, man?
They're down those willows. But day four afternoon, we moved to the northern part of the unit just to scout. I mean, we weren't finding nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you got to really put it in the gear. You're like, we got to go digging.
Yeah.
Like,
so
because how long is that season?
So he could have hunted. It was an X tag.
Yeah.
But all bull moose in that unit were X tags, so he could have hunted archery, muzzleloader, and rifle, and we chose muzzleloader season.
Yeah.
Also, that gave you any option of any legal weapon.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much.
I about to say that
season.
That's the catch for some people. They don't pay attention to that. When you draw certain tags, you get tied up to only a certain weapon choice. That's where Kansas gets everybody, and they don't pay attention to it. If you ever go to Kansas, put in for archery. You can hunt all year long. If you don't, you're stuck.
Yeah.
Just assume anybody out there. A lot of states are like that, too.
Rifle, you got 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's it. Muzzleloader, you get the beginning of September, and you get rifle season, and that's it. You only get 3 weeks to hunt, and that's it. So, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that, though. I didn't hear that part. That's pretty cool, though.
Mm-hmm. So, we chose muzzleloader. He got a custom-built muzzleloader. Thing is bad.
Yeah, was that thing? Is that thing a 45 cow?
No. Colorado's 50.
That's a 50.
You got to have a 50.
You got to have 50 in Colorado. Because
I told him about the guy that built
the 45s.
Yeah,
because those things shoot almost like rifles. Angle. Them 45s are slick. I mean, I know you can get a 50 to shoot that way, too, but Like the smokeless 45s, they're flipping nice.
But it's the same, just because you know Philip and the ones he built for like Hartzell stuff. It's the exact. It's off a Sendero platform. It's the same thing. It's just 50 caliber, because that's the rule.
Yeah, I got
also, Colorado is iron sights.
Yeah, you can't have scope.
Really?
Yeah.
On a that makes sense too. I got in so close on him, which I would have done that anyway. If I'm going on my first Moose Tag, I'm gonna get it. Like, if I can jump on his back and ride him, I'll ride him.
The whole thing was sick.
Yeah, that was cool.
But day four afternoon, we went scouting in an area that we seen a bull day three up there with a cow. He wasn't bad, but he was like still like,
yeah.
But I don't really want
to. You start getting down to day five, you start like, man, I'm not going to get down into the southern part.
Nice.
Screw this.
But yeah, he was up in elk country, man. I was like, are you kidding me? This is not where you're supposed to be. You're high. You're really high. But we kind of went back in that same area. And the other boy that was with us, he done a huge loop up on the unit borderline, and he spooked this really big bull off, but it went into the other unit.
Mm.
So, I mean, that thing was massive. I wish I had the pictures of it, but
yeah,
he walked so far that night, and then, like, when he was coming out, he got soaking ass wet. It started raining on us. I mean, we got in all kinds of weather while we were out there. We got snow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the west beyond Kansas, that weather out there will screw with you quick.
It's bad.
You can see a storm 50 miles away and don't know what it's bringing.
The only time I've ever been out there, it snowed on June the 31st, a Wednesday. Yeah. I'll never forget it.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, dude, we were out there. Like I told y'all that same story. I know you were in here when we told those stories of Idaho and Washington. Now, I know that they have the runoff, but they were telling me that those snow caps on those mountains don't melt till mid-July.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and there was like a couple boys that went hunting that met us after the competition thing was over up there at the deal with the Pacific Calls guys, and two of them went hunting up on this mountain, and they took pictures with a Merriam they shot that morning, and it had snowed 2 inches up on that mountain.
I know a guy from out east that shot turkeys in Oregon.
In late April.
Yeah, he went to Oregon crazy. This year and shot turkeys in the snow.
That's crazy. I seen some guys that did you might remember this. It was a couple years ago. Shot some velvet mule deer somewhere, and it snowed. It was like early September.
That and time shot Dad, some mule deer in the that snow. That time Dad and them got snowed in Wyoming when it snowed like 4 foot, and they couldn't get out of there. That was like the last day of September, first day of October.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Them's like the place to get like 200 inches a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it snowed, and then that snow, it wasn't going to melt in the top of this.
Oh, I doubt it. No, heck no. That was probably the first one of the year getting banked in.
And it stayed kind of the same temperature. But, yeah, he spooked that moose. We got back and figured out a game plan that morning. We're going to hike in that morning.
Now, at this point, have y'all found the other bull yet or no?
No, he's over in the other unit. And, the bull we had went and glassed it from another spot in our unit to see if he can find him in Wyoming. And he did, but he was, like, so far away. And we kind of went in that same area, seeing if he came back that night. But we got back, I think it was like 3 miles we walked that morning. And we got back in there and couldn't see 50 yards in front of us because of the fog. The fog rolled in, and it stayed there until like 10:30. And we started getting cold. It got a little cold. The breeze started picking up. Well, we don't have nothing else to do. We don't have no game plan now. Mm-hmm. Well.
You start guessing then, like.
Yeah.
Everybody put your chips on. Let's see what we can pull out.
We started walking up this ridge. I mean, there's still willows back in there. And we come up on these freaking beef cows. And I'm like, it's a beef cow. Come on now. They're not going to freak out.
Yeah.
That's what we thought. We get like 60 yards from them, kind of like walking parallel. And they see us, and they freak out. And they start like running around, trotting away. I'm like, what is going on? Well, they kind of trot up, and we're just kind of sitting there trying to figure out, like, go on, move on. We need to go up this ridge. Like, you're making sure y'all go that way.
Yeah.
Dad's glassing, and he's like, there's a big bull up on the ridge. I'm like, you lying. Don't get me riled up right now. He's like, yeah, you see his paddles. I threw it up. I'm like, well, son of a gun. I mean, ranged it is 540 yards. I mean, he was.
You ready, Dad?
Yeah. Hey, you want him?
Yeah.
Turn the camera on.
Turn the camera on.
But yeah, we got a visual of the bull now, and where was I going with this? So I throw up my binoculars, perfect paddles, every like
yeah,
the shower smooth that you want.
Yeah.
So we watch him. He's like he stood. I guess he stood about his bed when we seen him, and he's watching these cows. I mean, them cows are dead middle in between us. Mm-hmm. He's looking down. And we're kind of a little up, so we're not in this visual.
Yeah.
Well, them cows finally settle down. We sit here and watch him, and he beds down again. I was like, thank you. If we move up the same ridge, we're moving up, making a play. Well, we go about 400 yards up this ridge, and you won't believe it. Run into more beef cows, a whole dude herd of them. It's like, come on. Well, guess what they do? They do the same exact dumb stuff, but this time they're running right at the bull. I'm like, oh, this is great. We worked 5 days to find one. Perfect everything.
Wind's haven't perfect. Seen a cow the whole time. No one see cows.
We're way back in here, and freaking beef cows. But they go, and he stands back up. I'm like, come on, man. And they kind of go back over off the top of the ridge and go away, but they got only 150 yards from him and moved off. So he's still standing up, and we're watching him. We're at like, I think I ranged it 260. We're pretty close. Like, we could shoot this if we wanted to.
Yeah, we ain't gonna try it.
But we're definitely not trying it. And the terrain is a bunch of burned downfall quakies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy walking. Yeah. It's not. Nothing.
It's not quiet. It's not.
No. Yeah, yeah, not quiet at all.
Yeah.
Well,
walking through a fresh cut over.
Yeah.
So we hop down in this little small drainage, and I pop right up. And when we hop up, we're 160 yards. We're close, but not close enough. I said he's bedded down at this point. We watched him bed down again. This is the third time he stood up.
Wind good and everything too.
I mean, our wind was barely good the whole time. Like, he's here. It was there.
Yeah.
We could.
Were y'all underneath him though at this point, or are you parallel with him, like in that drainage?
Same
level, same playing level.
So we get up to 100 yards. He's like, Dad's like, yeah, this is good. This guy's like, no, you see that tree right there? We're getting to that one.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting close. We're getting up in his.
If he stands up, just fire.
I'm like, look, we're close enough. Just put it on him. You're good. You got a,
yeah.
You got a huge target.
Yeah.
Well, we get up to 60 yards. I mean, we're on him. I've never seen anything like it. And he stands up, and it's like, holy cow. I didn't think you were this big.
To be 60 yards from a moose.
Yeah, dude.
And like, we're at 60 yards. And I'm filming it. I range it at 60. I don't know why I range it. I'm like, this is a muzzler. We're not
bow hunting. Dad, we're plenty good.
I'm like, 60. He's like, you ready? And you can hear me in video. Shoot. Just shoot.
Yeah, because he's standing up looking at him. Yeah, he's like, shoot. Shoot.
What are you
shoot.
Doing? Why are you asking me if I'm okay? You're the one with the gun.
You trying to get that reticle dotted on that scope?
On the iron sights.
Yeah.
Boom! Smoke goes everywhere. You can't. And then it's not like a whitetail where it just hunches over. It's like, oh yeah, got him right behind the shoulder. Yeah. No. He don't have enough
oomph
to do that. Well, he shot it and it goes running. It runs like 20 yards and turns back around. And all you just see is his ass end just falls over.
Fall right over.
Within 20 yards, just killed a moose.
Yeah.
Well, while this is going on, I'm sitting here trying to help him reload. It's bad footage, but hey, still got the kill shot.
Yeah.
While this is going on, another big bull moose gets up within 40 yards of this one, and we had no idea he was there. You can hear me in video. He's like, oh my God, where did you come from?
Yeah.
And we knew the bull was dead. He made a perfect double lung shot.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't wait no time.
Yeah.
Like minutes.
Yeah.
The whole video was 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here filming that other bull too. Like, if I had a tag, like, yeah, he's 60 yards too, just sitting there watching us walk up to the other one. It's crazy.
Wouldn't know why his buddy just fell over. He's dead. Like,
where's my buddy?
He looked at him, he said, ah, they ain't got but one tag. I'm gonna hang out here.
I'm just gonna piss him off more.
That other one was, he said he was big.
He was more like a Maine moose.
Yeah,
like he had good fronts, but
he didn't have paddles.
He didn't have paddles. That one Todd got was good.
Yeah. Beautiful moose.
Yeah, he was beautiful.
And that little bit of velvet still on, or
yeah, little velvet.
Yeah, like the spots on it, mm-hmm, or whatever. It's cool.
Yeah, tipped over. And
what I thought was crazy though, talking about that, if my memory's holding true, like those, and I didn't look at a lot of pictures of them online on the Shiras or nothing, but like those look like they have a little more wider paddles than like the ones up in the backcountry do. Like the ones in the backcountry are like cherry colored, you know, they're like, mm-hmm, real dark.
Yeah, it's probably just because the...
It could be the country, too, they're living in, like, so the terrain.
He's actually killed a Yukon moose as well.
Really?
And it was a really good one.
Yeah. But they remind me of this color right here. Yeah. Normally their paddles are like that color. Yeah.
And I think paddles, they about look the same.
Look the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a little lighter, actually.
Yeah. No, I was just curious. I mean, I ain't knocking nothing at all. It's just, I remember looking at that picture when you sent it to me because I was like, that thing's nice. And that was sweet. How was the pack out experience?
Oh,
how much were them hindquarters weigh? About 150 pounds a piece.
I really wish I got a freaking fish scale out there and got that. So
you'd have to have a dang halibut scale. What kind of fish scale are you weighing
up? One of them old, what was that?
One of them old Rapalas?
Little two-hander. Yeah. Hold that thing up there, buddy.
So that's the whole sole reason I went on this hunt, is to be the pack mule. And luckily, we brought the pack frames in that morning because we all had really high hopes for that morning for some reason.
That's why you killed him. You brought the pack frames. Yeah, if you'd have left the pack frames at the truck, you wouldn't have killed that moose.
Yep.
When you go fully, when you go fully prepared.
If I go, it's the opposite. It's when you're not prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah. That normally tends out. It goes with me sometimes, but I don't know. The way I have my luck here lately, I don't think it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. I may just go without one boot and wear the other boot and see if that helps me.
Yeah.
Because if I wear both of them, or if I don't wear my boots, screw it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So luckily, we walked in 2.5 miles that morning, but we were 500 yards from the other unit. So it's legal,
mm-hmm,
but we packed it out of there, and it was only a 500 yard walk through some downfall. Yeah, and we
to
got
get
out.
Into a road over there.
Yeah, yeah, get into a road over there. So it was an all day. We killed him at 11:32, and didn't get out there till 6. But mm-hmm, the first load I had, 500 yards doesn't seem that far.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You add a good bit of weight to yourself.
It's not. It's also not flat like sand.
Yeah.
It's,
no.
Yeah.
I got to go down this ridge, go back up, and then go back up again.
Yeah.
And the first trip I had both of the front shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was heavy. Very.
Yeah.
And then
two whitetails on your back.
Yeah. Our other buddy, he had a hind quarter and a back strap. And while this...
Back strap long as his couch.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Them things were massive.
Yeah.
And
ate on them things for a year.
We still have sheep to eat. Like, how many people you know that have a Rocky Mountain sheep and a Shiras moose in the same freezer?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Todd, let me get some of that moose.
What was I going to say? So, Dad, he went back and got the side-by-side during this,
mm-hmm,
during this time because, I mean, he's older. Mm-hmm. He's hurt his back, kind of. Trying to pack it out, and so we got it out in 3 trips. We took out the shoulder, first, a hind quarter and a back strap, and another, the second load we had a hind quarter and a back strap, and what did I have the second load? I think the head. I had the head and like some neck.
That's probably the heaviest freaking thing out of the whole. I ain't gonna lie,
dude. It was like, it was so awkward. You couldn't really strap it down.
Yeah, I was just asking. I mean, I know some places don't care. What do they, like when you do the carcass stuff, what do they let you do with it? You can leave the carcass or you have to pack it out too?
You have a carcass tag.
Yeah. That's the reason I was saying, that's the way New Mexico does. You tag that and then it's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then, of course, you got to take it to the DOW office.
That's right. Yeah. I was just curious. That's how a lot of states are. Nobody knows how that Midwest works. You'll get a tag and then you'll get a carcass tag.
Yeah, when we showed up to the DOW office, when we opened the trailer, we had the moose head right there at the bottom of the side by side. Well, what we had
this is funny.
What's in the back of the side by side riding home with us is the Rocky Mountain Sheep mount. Because we left it out there to get mounted.
Yeah.
So we opened that, and everyone there's like, "Holy cow! What is that thing alive?" Oh, like, dang!
It's just laying it's just in the back.
We're lassoing him up.
yeah, we got him tied up.
Literally.
Yeah. But yeah, it was funny. Everyone freaking out. Like, oh, okay. Killed it last year. Blah blah. Yeah, it's funny.
I love people's attention. You know, awareness is just top tier.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I got it. Yeah,
we got a live Rocky Mountain sheep in this locked off enclosed trailer.
I used to be a sheep dogger back in my rodeo days. I'm up here and sheep dogged him down.
He's just gonna sit right there.
Shoot dogged him
for 32 hours till we get back to the same country.
Yeah. Man, yeah. I forgot too. Y'all drove out there.
You drove?
Did y'all drive out there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Poof.
It's great. It's a great time, isn't it?
I don't drive. Like, I fly everywhere I go. I'd have to FedEx my antlers back or something. God bless.
Yeah.
The days of driving,
you got to bring so much crap.
Yeah, and that's
you got to drive. Yeah, like you can fly what you were doing.
Yeah, no, that's no doubt at all. And I will say that, like, if I obviously get into those bigger tags where you have to do the camping or the, bigger pack outs, yeah, absolutely. Because you can't take, those pack frames.
12 bags.
No, I mean, it'd be different if I had a buddy that had a private jet or something, but. On stuff like that, you have to do it. You got to go full regalia. And
yeah,
you going back out this year?
Lit up where?
Texas.
Probably later on in the year, more than likely.
Okay, because I'm going back out to Colorado.
Yeah, listen to this crap.
Yeah, I got.
What? He figured out he's getting over the counter elk tag.
Yeah, I figured out some intel on where to go. Going out there with a buddy. So,
bull or cow tag?
Bull, for sure.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Hopefully, you get some set up like that picture right there.
Oh, I wish I could get that over.
Some buddies told me that same thing in Idaho and Washington, that stuff all the time. They were talking to me and Caleb about it. I need to get up with them. I'd like to go shoot one of the Northern Rockies. That'd be kind of sweet.
Yeah, it's sick.
But I got to get that mule deer monkey off my back. But before I even go any farther, I got to get the monkey off my back in general. I got to go draw blood somewhere.
Yeah.
Same.
I'm gonna be the first on that dope. Screw Noah. Noah, if you're listening to this, you ain't gonna get on that dope boy for
Noah, hey, Noah said Saturday he's gonna
that's what he says he's gonna take to the dough scales with his 110-pound Ellerby. 95-pound Ellerby doe. Yeah. I'm calling him out. Yeah. Anybody from Ellerby listening to this, I just called y'all out. Yeah. Prove me wrong, shoot 140-pounder.
Yeah. Who do you think's gonna win the smallest dope competition?
Noah.
If Bug was in it for sure.
Oh yeah, Bug. Yeah. Be laying them out down there to hoop.
If it's got spots, it's going to drop.
Yeah.
It's good to aim
and pull. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. If you shoot that one you got pictures of right down the road here, I believe we all cooked.
She's in there tonight.
Daryl said he's going to go run it off.
I don't care. Yeah. There's a couple more.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you that. I showed Dad the picture.
That doe.
Oh, that doe. And he said, "Where's that at?" And I said, "It's right down the road." And I ain't going to say the name, but he's like, "Is that over at Jim's?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to Jeremy's to steal one of them gators. I'm going to go in there and do donuts this evening about prime time." He said, "I'm running her off."
I don't even want to kill. I just want to run her off.
Yeah. And knowing that doe, she'd probably just come back out of curiosity. Oh, yeah. She's stupid.
Yeah,
like that,
stand over in the corner watching.
Yeah, that's a big doe. I ain't even going to say I'm bragging about myself. If that doe right there don't go 130 pounds, 140, I kiss y'all's rear.
She's all over 140.
That's a big doe. Big one.
At the big doe shoot I do at our place in Chester.
Yeah, down south.
I killed one last year with 132.
So that doe right there is big.
Yeah.
Y'all do got some big ones down there, though, but I like to see the shooting them.
I ain't seen one since.
You killed the only one he had then.
I know. Well,
you killed the surrogate mother.
I went back and looked at the video. So we had a bush hog pass down the power line.
Mm-hmm.
Her nose was on one end.
Yeah.
Her tail was on the other.
Yeah.
I was in the moment. I wasn't really paying attention. I was just,
yeah.
It's Doe Dave. We're shooting the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boom!
Yeah.
About 5:30. Fire come out the barrel.
Yeah. 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 I was going to try to enter this weekend, and I thought I was being slick. I thought I was going to get in a box stand where they wouldn't smell me, you know. And this big old doe up here in the mountains, she come across the creek and everything, man. I was like, oh, yeah, just come on in here and start eating this corn. Man, she got over there. Good God almighty.
Right by a tree I normally sit in.
Yeah. That's the winner.
And I'm doing a podcast with y'all tonight. Look.
Is that tonight?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad we're doing this podcast, yeah. Everybody.
Big old school bus headed doe coming up through there. Womp womp.
For y'all's entertainment, you saved us.
Anyway, continue. Sorry. I just had to say that. I told you.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying that I thought I was being slick trying to play the wind and just getting that box stand where, you know, she could get on in there before she smelt me, you know, because the wind was right. But the problem is there's a creek. And to get them where we bow hunt is on one side of the creek. Just because the way the land lays, you can't really get to the other side and hunt. And so the problem is they don't really move over in the mornings until it gets colder.
Mm-hmm.
So in the evenings, you got to hunt them on that side of the creek. And I'm bow hunting, so I'm on that side of the creek anyway. And all your thermals just suck down to that creek. So the wind was blowing right back in the box stand with me. But when it would get calm, my thermals were drifting down there to that creek. And she knew the gig was up. So that was it. Yeah.
Can't stand them.
Yeah, but I'm gonna hunt South Carolina this weekend, and then the big wedding next weekend, and so
on opening day gun. How dare you?
Oh, I'll be all right. I was thinking about it. If I have time, I'm gonna go, but it had to be Saturday evening, and I may just have to go here. Because I'm going to do that deal Saturday morning, and I got a bunch of crap going on Sunday. I can't get home. I broke free. I got something to do in the morning. I got to go to church, and then I got something to do right after lunch.
Yeah.
And actually, I can't even go Saturday evening. I just told you a flat lie. I can't go at all. We got a birthday dinner for Sarah. Sarah's birthday Saturday. That's a definite no-go.
Oh, yeah.
So, if I don't go tomorrow evening, which I might can make it work, but if I don't,
I wasn't saying necessarily South Carolina. Yeah. Like, say I got to hunt the mornings. I can just hunt the mornings anyway because I got to be home in the evenings this weekend. So that's why I'm not going to the mountains or anything. So I'm going to go down there tomorrow and put out corn and stuff. And I'm finally going to trim up that road and put batteries in the oak stand. And we've got to get a solar panel for that camera.
God, that's aggravating, dude.
But, yeah.
We don't know. I mean, I say we don't know why, but it's like it loses service and it kills them more than anything.
It's like trying hard.
There'll be times it won't take pictures, and all of a sudden we'll get pictures from 3 days prior.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's what's killing the batteries. It's trying to send, you know, but yeah, I'm going to go down there tomorrow and do that.
And I'd hate to know what's been hitting that camera.
Oh, God.
That camera was really...
That big 8-pointer was in there all the time.
That camera was hot before it died.
Yeah.
Because that day we went down there when you shot that Hightower deer, that was a buck of some sort. I saw it morning. It got hit right in that thicket. I just couldn't make out what it was. I was about to shoot it, but I was like, I don't want to burn a tag on a spike, even though I've got one to do it on. I don't really want to shoot it because I didn't know what it was. I mean, I knew it was a deer. It was big bodied, but I was like, is it that 8 or is it not? And what was funny is that right before that morning we got in there, that 8 had been in there at like 3 o'clock that morning. So for all we know, he could have come back, and I didn't. He literally come by if I would have been in the oak stand, I'd shot him.
Yeah.
But I was right behind it, climbing on my saddle right on the edge of the property line.
Trying to get near persimmon
trees. And hunting persimmons. And he come right by that stand.
Yeah.
And got hid. And I couldn't see his head. I could just see it from his shoulder down. Yeah, I had my gun. I threw it up, and I couldn't see through that thicket because he had his head right in them grapes. And he just, froze. And then you shot, and he really stood there for a minute. And he just, turned and walked up in the pines. I was like, just all you had to do was keep coming, and I could have seen you.
Yeah.
There was no reason.
Yeah.
And then I got to see 15, and then those couple of does. Yeah. I got that. Them turkeys was roosted right below me.
Yeah.
He flew down. That song went to putt as soon as he hit the
ground. Man, I'm going to tell you, we'll bring it back to turkeys for a minute.
Mm.
That first evening, when I shot the first scrub down there opening day, 15 stayed out there on that power line for 30 minutes, and I looked at him through the binoculars. It's a wonder he don't trip over them spurs.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that. I know we both know he's an old turkey and everything. But, you know, we've had a couple pictures where you can kind of see spurs. I looked at him with the binoculars, and I mean, that is, I mean, he is no, he's some dang. Hooks.
Yeah, he's a stud. Yeah. I mean, when I seen him that morning, he flew down. As soon as he flew down, he's, I'm like, all right, whatever. It ain't no big deal. Yeah. I mean, you lucky.
Yeah.
You know, you real lucky right now. It's, yeah. It's September A.
Yeah.
And not
yeah.
April.
April, yeah.
April A or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But, that sun gun is. And then what was even funnier, now that I say that, I got down and met him when he shot Hightower, and it was turkey gobbling everywhere.
Oh, it was gobbling off the hook.
All over the place.
There's one back here.
He takes me that.
Yeah, it was like the cutover on the back of our place. This. You know where we took Taylor and Brantley up there?
Letting her eat.
There was one in that swamp on the other side of that hill. I mean, just choking all morning. Like right after I shot, it's like my shot like woke him up or something. And he was just hammering down in there.
While we looking at a nice, nice deer.
Nice. Tall.
Double throat patch.
Oh, yeah.
On that power line.
And then I'm gonna go check him card cameras too. I'm really excited to check them.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Me too. I need to get down there and hunt though. Like I said, once I get this wedding behind, get my wedding behind me.
Yeah.
I have my weekends back because I mean I'm gonna be gone for a whole week for the honeymoon too. Yeah. So, and I just saw a post the other day. It's supposed to be pretty cold while I'm gone, so that's gonna be great. I may go buy a Tennessee license.
Yeah.
Just hunt while I'm in Tennessee since we're in honeymoon. Where are you going? Tennessee, we had some other plans, but they fell through for the original one we had set up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go to Tennessee just to go somewhere close and just have something to do. I mean, we're really not. Me and her took a lot of trips, but we ain't got no big honeymoon phase we're in now. So we just changed it up. She's never been, and you're going to laugh, anybody listening, she's never been to like Pigeon Forge, the Blue Ridge Mountains area. She's never done that. Like she's always been her family was the beach type. Go to Florida, out coast. So she's going to go to, we're going to go do Smoky Mountain Knife Works and all that stuff. We used to do that a lot when I was a kid.
We used to go every single year for spring break. We went to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg.
Yeah, we got a nice Airbnb to stay in. Like this little farm. It's like a little 3-acre place. It might even be bigger than that. But anyway, we got that to stay at. Right outside of Pigeon Forge, so we'll be able to get to like Cades Cove and do the knife works and go to Sevierville.
Go
and
see
all
them
that.
Big bucks.
Yeah, we'll just go check it out. I'm going to take the camera with me and catch some stuff just to, be the Cades Cove photographer. You know what I mean?
She get to go to Tennessee twice because we all going to the big show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yep.
Yeah.
NWTF.
Yeah, the 50th.
Yep. Gonna be a good time.
Yeah, that's gonna be real fun. Caleb's going too. He's gonna meet it there. Yeah. He said he's coming. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
RW crew will be there.
Yeah. Yeah, mom and dad went last year. And I went in 2014, the only time I've been when I was younger. And then I've been wanting to go back. And then mom and dad hadn't been either. And mom and dad went back last year. And dad was like, yeah, we're definitely going next year. I was like, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, I'll be there. So. But anywho. That's wraps that up.
That's the update. Ailer's Hunt Club Moose story. That's what we all been up to.
Still got a lot of hunts left.
Mm. Oh, our season's just getting kicked off.
Oh yeah, it's just now getting.
The problem is, we just ain't got a lot of stories to tell. But
yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. Everybody was pretty excited to send that pronghorn thing. I had a lot of people call me, text me about it, even though I didn't shoot it. But it's just, I know a lot of people didn't expect us to be stuff like that different. But I promise you, if we can hunt it, we're going to go try to hunt it. I mean, 100%. It's just...
When us sand boys go out west, everyone's so interested.
It's just something to do. I mean, it's just fun. I mean, that's just like all of us in here besides Evan. I mean, Kale does. Like, I'm not going this year because I forgot to put in for a draw, but I mean, I like to get my western kick every year. I just... Dude, and that was it for me. And I'll get to do it again, if I go later in the year because I didn't go to Kansas. But I did tell myself this year, too, if I can do it later on. If not, it's no big deal. I need to get back and get in some big buck states. Like, I know Ohio's getting hit hard with the HD, but I used to hunt Kentucky a lot. I know you can do it here, but I'd like to go back north and trek some big north hardwoods, whitetails. Yeah. I ain't done that in a long time. I need to do that.
Yeah.
That was fun stuff back in the day. Back before I had a lot of money and a lot of time, and I don't have no time now, and I don't really have no money either, but I don't even know why I said that. I just like to go do it because – I don't know. You're a little bit older and you're more attentive to what you're doing. Back then, I was just like beating around the damn bush. So, but anywho, I think that wraps that up. That wraps it up for y'all.
Of course.
I was yawning. That's all I had.
Yeah, we know you're ready to go to bed. I'm ready to go to bed too. My voice is starting to get real mellow. You know, I'm just trying to drop the bass. But yeah, so next one, probably get Caleb on if we don't decide to make the phone call in between. I don't know his schedule. I got to get it with him. So
if not, we still got the other phone call to make one weekend to Wade.
Yeah, God Almighty, I gotta get talking to him. He might get busy now because this opener was just this weekend for Alabama.
Yeah, that's right.
October 1, so their opener was, I said this weekend, I'm an idiot. Their opener was yesterday, so I don't know, he may get busy, but I got a hold of him. So he's been at a...
I mean, we ain't got to do it like next week, I'm just saying. Yeah. I think we mentioned that in the last one. And
we ain't done it yet. I got to get on there with him, but he's like us. He's busy and he's on a 1 hour time difference, so trying to catch his schedule with our schedule is a little different too, but... I think that wraps it up. We'll get started on the next one. Hopefully somebody will draw some blood this weekend.
Yep.
Catch and release in the belly of deep fried grease. That's what Jim always says. Yeah. But anyhow, I'm Carson.
I'm Evan.
I'm Kale.
And we'll see y'all on the next one.